in the limelight.
Chile is experiencing the largest and most serious political crisis and public unrest throughout Santiago and the country's major cities since the return to democracy in 1990. A week long of fire, tear gas, and police brutality left at least 20 people dead, thousands arrested and injured. More than 1.2 million people protested on Friday, October 25th, in the streets of Chile's capital, Santiago, not just against the 4% hike in metro fares. That was the drop that brought the glass to overflow. These were the remarks of economist and geopolitical analyst Peter Koenig, a former World Bank official and author of several books on economic inequality and corporate greed, in his article for the Global Research website titled Chile and its History of Western Interference. Stay tuned for the details. Years, decades of neoliberal policies brought hardship and poverty and inequality to Chileans. Chile is the country with the world's third largest inequality in wealth. Important for Chileans to understand is not to believe President Sebastián Piñera's smooth talk and compromising words. Whatever he says and apparently does in terms of backtracking from his neoliberal policies is sheer deviation propaganda. Many of these policies he already initiated during his first term, that is between 2010 to 2014. They were kept alive by Madame Michelle Bachelet between 2014 to 2018 under pressure from the Chilean financial system, which remains closely linked and funded by Wall Street and, of course, by her IMF advisors. Continuing Piñera's job, she helped further dollarizing Chile to the tune of 70%, meaning that Chilean banks financed themselves on the U.S. dollar markets, mostly in New York and London, rather than one, the local peso market. A healthy economy finances itself largely from nationally earned and accumulated capital, but more often than not, national oligarch who possess this capital earned locally invested outside their countries as they trust more in foreign markets than in their own country. This is classic in many developing countries, and particularly in Latin America, where the elite still, or again, after a brief democratic center-left respite in 1990s and early 2000, looks for success and capital gains to the northern masters in Washington. Madame Bachelet was effectively bought by the system. A former socialist, having seen her father suffer under the Pinochet regime, she has become a sad turncoat. She demonstrated her conversion by her recent report on Venezuela's human rights, which was a travesty of the truth, a sham full of lies and omissions. Another one who sold out and became chief of a UN office, the High Commissioner of the UN Human Rights Commission. How did that happen? Who pulls the strings behind the scene for such appointments? Since 2018, it's again President Piñera who is hell-bent to complete his neoliberal project. Sebastián Piñera is one of the richest people in Latin America with a net worth of close to $3 billion. How could he even remotely imagine what it is, having to take the subway every day to go to work, depending on pensions which are gradually reduced under his austerity programs, having to pay school tuition for a public service which is free in most countries and being subject to privatized health services, let alone steadily depressed salaries and rising unemployment. Pinera has no clue. Only 24 hours before the mass protest started about a week ago throughout Chile, Pinera prided himself in public of leading the politically and economically most stable and secure country, the world's largest copper producer, where foreign investors were keen to place their money, a paradise island, he called Chile, adding the country was a model for all of Latin America. Did he really not sense what was happening? How his austerity measures plus privatizing everything was hurting and infuriating his compatriots to the point of no return? Did he simply ignore it, thinking it may go away, people will continue swallowing economic tightening as they have done before? Whatever it is, amazing. As Pinera's popularity has slumped to an all-time low of 14% and protest erupted every day to a higher level, he started using people-friendly language and tone, promising increasing minimum wages, pensions, and unemployment benefits. In a move to court the working class on Monday, October 28, he reshuffled his cabinet, replacing 8 of his ministers with more people-friendly officials, but from all appearance, it's too little, too late. He addressed the people in a televised speech from the presidential palace, La Mundia, saying, "Chile has changed, and the government must change with it to confront these new challenges." Nobody seemed to take these empty words seriously, as the masses assembled in front of La Mundia asking for Pinera's resignation. The UN is sending a team to investigate human rights abuses by police and military, while Argentinians waited for regular general elections to oust their Western-imposed neoliberal linchpin, President Macri. It is not likely that Chileans will have the patience to wait until 2022. The neoliberal ghost of Pinochet is finally being exorcised from Chile. Ever-increasing inequality and a skyrocketing cost of living reach the point of anger that can hardly be appeared with Pinera's apparent promises for change. For at least 80% of the people, these conciliatory words are not enough. They don't believe in a system led by a neoliberal multibillionaire who has no idea on how common people have to make a living. They don't believe in change from this government. It is highly possible they won't let go until Pinera is gone. They see what was happening in neighboring Argentina and don't want to face the same fate. Let's just look at a bit of history, going way back to the War of the Pacific, also known as the Saltpeter War, confronting Chile with the Bolivian-Peruvian alliance. Chile counted with the strong support from the UK, supplying warships, weaponry, and military advice. The war lasted from 1879 to 1884 and centered on Chilean claims of Bolivian's coastal territories, part of the Atacama Desert, rich in saltpeter, coveted by Britain. Thanks to the British military and logistic support, Chile won the war and Bolivia lost her access to the Pacific, making it a landlocked country. The government of Evo Morales today is still fighting for Pacific Sea access in The Hague. Peru lost also part of her resources-rich coastline, Arica and Tarapacá. Fast forward to September 11, 1973, the Chilean 9/11, instigated by the West, again. To be precise, by Washington. In the driver's seat of this fatal coup that changed Chile as of this day and counting, if Pinera is not stopped, was Henry Kissinger. At the time leading up to the CIA-instigated coup and during the coup, Kissinger was U.S. National Security Advisor, the role John Bolton occupied under Trump until recently. Kissinger was sworn in as Secretary of State 11 days after the coup, September 22, 1973, a a decent reward for whom is today the biggest war criminal still alive. The murder coup, followed by almost 20 years of brutal military rule by Augusto Pinochet from 1973 to 1990, with torture, killings, human rights abuses, left and right, was accompanied by an atrocious economic regime imposed by Washington-hired so-called Chicago Boys, ruining the country, privatizing social services, national infrastructures, and national resources, except for Chile's and the world's largest copper mine, code LCO, which was not privatized during the Pinochet years. The military would not allow it. The large majority of the population was put under constant surveillance and threat of punishment and abuse if they would protest and not behave as Pinochet ordered. Pinochet, along with the Western-directed financial sector, returned Chile into a largely impoverished, complacent population. The British Empire, at the time from London, later from Washington, acting as the American Empire, was always influential in Chile, expanding its influence and exploitation mechanism to Colombia, Ecuador, Peru, Argentina, Brazil, and Venezuela. But then, in late 1990s and early 2000, Latin America stood up, democratically electing her own leaders, most of them left and center-left, a thorn in the eye of Washington. How could Americans' backyard become independent? Impossible. Hence, the renewal of Monroe Doctrine, which emanated from President James Monroe, forbidding Europeans to interfere in any American territory. The Monroe Principle has now been expanded to not allowing any foreign nation to even do business with Latin America, let alone forming political alliances. While within a few years in the early 2000s, most of Latin America has been converted into puppets of the United States, Venezuela and Cuba stand tall. They are the cornerstones not to fall. They will be the pillars from where a new sovereign Latin America will rise. The Monroe Doctrine will not hold for a falling U.S. empire. While peace-seeking Russia and China are closely associating, commercially as well as militarily, with South America in rebuilding and defending of their sovereignty. In addition, people living under neoliberal regimes, under Western financial and IMF-imposed killer austerity programs, are waking up, demonstrating, and protesting in Ecuador and Argentina, where they just in democratic elections disposed of the U.S.-imposed neoliberal despot, President Mauricio Macri. Now Chile's population is angry. Their patience is collapsing. Their fear is gone. They want justice. They want to choose freely their leader, and it is not Sebastián Piñera. Chileans' fury is not just directed at Piñera's latest distasteful economic and financial austerity measures. They, the Chileans, still suffer from measures dating back to the Pinochet era, the era of Western Chicago Boys, measures that have never been changed, not even under the so-called socialist Madame Bachelet. The Pinochet Constitution of 1980, under pressure from Chicago-educated advisors, the IMF, and the dollar-based banking system, imposed a culture of economic neoliberalism and ideological conservatism. These key parameters, remnants from that epoch, are still valid as of this day. Ecuadorian Chile has the most privatized and segregated Ecuadorian system of the 65 countries that use the OECD Student Evaluation Standard, PISA, that is Program for International Student Assessment. In Chile, higher education, university level is not a right. In 1981, Pinochet has privatized most of the higher education institutions, giving access mainly to students from privileged families. Health. In 1979, Pinochet created the preventive health institutions, administered by private financial institutions, providing services that most Chileans cannot afford, that is, the Fondo Nacional de Salud, replacing the former publicly financed health system. Public transportation. Chile has one of the most expensive public transport systems in all of Latin America. It's run by private, for-profit concessionaries. In Chile, a metro ride costs the equivalent of $1.13. In Brazil, 99 cents. In Colombia, 67 cents. In Argentina, 43 cents. Mr. Piñera's recent 4% tariff increase was just the trigger for a much larger discontent. Abortion. Since 1939, voluntary and secure abortion was possible in Chile. In 1989, Pinochet made abortion under whatever circumstances a criminal delict. Pensions. In 1980, Pinochet abandoned the old public system based on solidarity among pensioned adults and handed the accumulated funds to newly created and privately run AFPs, that is, administrations of pension funds, groups of private administrators of funds accumulated entirely by workers, no contributions by employers. Carabineros, or Chilean police officers, under Pinochet. Carabineros have been given powers with military characteristics. They have constantly and with impunity violated human rights. For years, civil society groups have requested successive governments, and ultimately again the Piñera government, to change their regime to police officers respecting human dignity and human rights. So far, to no avail, as demonstrated by police interference in the most recent protests. These Pinochet leftovers will no longer be accepted and tolerated by Chileans. Chile's population, and in particular, the more than 1.2 million protesting in Santiago last Friday, are requesting nothing less than Piñera's resignation and a people's elected constitutional assembly to build a new country with less, much less inequality, more social justice, and especially without any remaining Pinochet estimo, which today is still very present under Sebastián Piñera, who sent the military to control the mass demonstrations in Santiago and other large cities. Chileans are clearly saying, these days are over. We want our country back. We reclaim our national political and economic sovereignty. No more Western interference.